are Locked On Flyers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Flyers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Flyers podcast for Wednesday, July 14th, your daily dose of Flyers news, analysis, and high quality content that is feeling like maybe Bastille Day is appropriate for what's going on in the NHL these days. To keep track of all that news and our episodes and the Flyers fandoms, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Flyers. You can also email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com. We are your hosts. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Danielle.
And this episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app from the iOS App Store. Find one of our Locked On rooms. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. So on today's show, we're going to talk about yesterday's press conference that Chuck Fletcher and Brent Flair had. There was some big NHL news, so we'll get into that as well. And we'll finish up with some mailbag questions. Locked On Flyers is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you are listening. So hit that subscribe button and you'll get all of our episodes here on the Locked On Sports Network. All right. So yesterday, there was so much going on all at once, but the most relevant to us in Flyers land was the presser that Chuck Fletcher and Brent Flair put on together. And, you know, it was kind of a weird thing because they didn't have a ton to say, but somehow felt the need to get out there and have some sort of media event leading up to this big week of the expansion draft and the entry draft and free agency and all that stuff. So I don't know. I'm not sure what exactly the point was, but they did say a few things. Fletcher reiterated how disappointed they were with last season and that it's on him and he feels a personal obligation. Well, I mean, it's his job, but he feels like, you know, it's really on him the most to make things better in this upcoming season. He thinks that solving the goals against problem is the number one problem to solve. So how they go about solving it could take different forms, not necessarily just the number one defenseman role that we've been talking about. Obviously, a backup goaltender has something to do with that. And then, you know, he said that they didn't want to overreact to the young guys taking a step backward. It's hard to know how much the pandemic affected them. And they wanted to be careful to make some effective changes, but not change course too much and lose faith in those guys after one bad year.
Yeah, which, I mean, is kind of like what you want to hear, right? Like, I don't think, at least from our perspective, that we wanted the Flyers to blow everything up after a pretty disappointing season. And, you know, it's been said plenty of times that the Flyers are in a really unique spot right now. And it does put a lot of pressure on Fletcher this offseason, but he seems like he's he understands the position that the Flyers are in, and he's not going to make any irrational decisions. He's very focused on trying to improve this team and not have to blow it up.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think there were two semi-interesting things that came out of it. So the first of which is the first round pick information, because Fletcher said that the pick was in play for a trade and that normally he would keep first round picks, but this offseason he's more willing to move it. Brent Flair was kind of like, well, I don't know, like I really want to keep the pick. So there was seemed to be a little bit of a open disagreement between them on that front. And, you know, somebody asked him what the criteria was to move that pick, and Fletcher said that it needed to be for a good player that would help over multiple years, regardless of position. So I thought that was interesting and thoughtful that it wasn't just a quick fix. It's somebody that's going to help the team for the long term.
That was really interesting that they did kind of outwardly disagree on that, or not disagree, but have different opinions. I mean, with from Fletcher's perspective, I like that, you know, if it is moved, it's for someone who's going to be here for a good amount of time. I feel like that's the right way to invest your first overall pick if you're, or not first overall, first round pick if you are looking to trade it.
Yeah, and, you know, just talking about the draft, Brent Flair said that, you know, he was asked about goaltending specifically, and that, you know, there are two kind of top tier goaltenders that are expected to go in the first round. Wallstedt is very likely going to be gone, but Sebastian Casa will still be there likely when the Flyers pick, and at least one person that we talked about on the show picked the Flyers to choose him in this draft, and they didn't outright rule it out, but it doesn't seem like it's definitely something they're thinking strongly about.
No, and it would be really surprising to me if they were. I mean, when we did a draft preview, there were tons of forwards and tons of centers available at that spot. So I think with the, you know, what the organizational need is, I could just see them going for a skater if they do have that first pick. So would have been surprised if they leaned towards drafting him. I mean, they still could, absolutely, but I would definitely be surprised.
Yeah, you know, Brent Flair said specifically that they were pretty confident in the goalie pipeline that they have in place right now, and that, you know, they're always a best available on their list kind of team, which, you know, every team says that. So I don't take that with a grain of salt. But I think the other interesting little tidbit that came out of it is when Chuck Fletcher was talking about making changes how they do things kind of behind the scenes, that, you know, how they approach coaching and analytics and their processes, you know, in a way to better support their young talent as they develop, and that they had a quote unquote busy off season behind the scenes and now they're focused on the ice. They have made some personnel changes but aren't announcing them yet, which that's what kind of piqued my interest. We know that there's at least one, if not two, coaching positions open in Lehigh Valley, and they have to, or are planning to, replace Ian LaPerriere's slot at the Flyers. And we also know that the Pens hired Brett Hextall, who had been on the player development team with the Flyers. And obviously we know that Kerry Huffman left the Phantoms, but he also got hired by the Pens. And Bill Meltzer sort of cryptically said another anticipated change has not been made official yet. So seems like there's going to be some more player development, scouting, coaching announcements to be made over the course of the summer, but we just don't know when.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what the moves are, and I'm kind of surprised that they are keeping it in-house for right now.
Yeah, it's especially good to hear that they're thinking about it in terms of player development and how they're going to give the young players coming up through the system, you know, all the best possible resources and put them in positions to succeed. So speaking of some of those young players, he said that there's no rush to sign the RFAs, but they're going to get it done, and that he will give some qualifying offers out. You know, we know the top ones are Carter Hart, which obviously they're going to give an offer to. They're Nolan Patrick and Travis Sanheim. The UFAs, Sam Moran, Brian Elliott, and Alex Lyon, we don't know what's going on with them yet. And then he just was asked about Cam York, and they talked about how he grew physically over the past year and how good it was to get that AHL experience. But I think those were like the key points that they talked about. Well, we just had a lot to say about a pretty nothing press conference. So I think that Spotify Green Room would be a perfect place for us to continue that conversation. You'll find fans just like you on Spotify Green Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and of course, reacting to the big news or rumors. And you can even find Locked On hosts like us across the NBA, MLB, and NHL.
So go download the free Spotify Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the NHL group for the latest league updates. I know you'll find a ton of incredible rooms around your favorite teams. We can't wait to join you all on the app, and we'll be sure to let you know when the Locked On Flyers room is live. Download the Spotify Green Room app today. Spotify Green Room, changing the way we talk sports.
Danielle, we talk about this all the time, but I'm starting to get a little hungry, and the perfect snack for us is Built Bars. Built Bars are a soft protein bar, but they taste just like candy bars, and they are so good. There are 18 amazing flavors to choose from, something for everyone. My personal favorite right now is carrot cake.
Yeah, they have so many different flavors, and the best part is that they are healthy. Built Bars are great if you're looking to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They combine low calorie, low sugar with high protein and high fiber to keep you fuller longer, and they're perfect for any type of diet you are on, whether that's just the keto diet, counting calories, they're perfect for any lifestyle.
So go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, so yesterday we talked a little bit about how there was so much going on that was unexpected. You know, we talked about the Pierre hiring, and then there was a trade with Duncan Keith. And I think yesterday's news kind of blew that out of the water. So much went down. First, we heard of Pekka Rinne's retirement announcement, which my heart breaks, because I think, like, between him and Carey Price, those are the two goaltenders that I would like to win a cup, like non-Flyers goaltenders. That kind of makes me sad they haven't won a cup.
Yeah, I could definitely see why. It was pretty sad, but I mean, he ended it the way he wanted. I mean, he only played in Nashville, so I know that meant a lot for him. And he still seems like he's having a good time, and he went out on his own terms instead of going out, you know, in a way that wasn't. I'm sure this isn't the last we see of him in Nashville, at least.
Oh, absolutely. It feels like he'll be involved in that organization in some way moving forward. But yeah, I'm glad he got to go out on his own terms as well. But the biggest bombshell of the day was the Zach Parise and Ryan Suter buyouts in Minnesota. Holy smokes. I could not believe it. So there's a lot to unpack with it. You know, it seems like they did it for the cap space and the expansion draft because, you know, both of them had no move clauses. They were required to be protected. And there were other players, including Matt Dumba, who Minnesota can now protect and otherwise would have been exposed. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why we talked about potentially trying to get him from Minnesota, because, you know, the Wild would not have the capability to protect them in the expansion draft, and maybe they'd want to get something for him in return. But this is like one hell of a buyout, Danielle.
Yeah, I mean, I know a ton of people were definitely surprised by it. I actually wasn't. I kind of figured this is what would happen. I mean, their contracts were massive the day they signed them. And, you know, Minnesota, they're turning a new leaf. I mean, they got into the playoffs. There's a lot of skill on that team that, you know, with the expansion draft coming on, they would prefer to protect those players instead of Parise and Suter. So I, you know, I gotta give it to the Wild for making their move. This type of buyout, it's definitely not gonna be pretty for the long run, though.
No, I mean, this upcoming season will be good for them, but after it, it's gonna be rough, and there'll be 4 years that toward the end of the contract where they're gonna be in the hole. So for $1.7 million, so they're gonna have a tough cap situation over the next, like, from like year 3 to year 5, I think is going to be an interesting window. So next year is going to be a big one for the Wild for sure, to get in while they still have some, you know, that all that cap space to work with.
Yeah, and I saw a couple of Wild fans just talking about how, like, that year three or four, everyone is really concerned about it, but they were saying that they have a couple of depth players or prospects in the pipeline that should be ready by that time and be on their ELCs. So hopefully that will ease some of the pain. But I'm figuring that the front office has some type of plan because, like you said, it is tough in year three and four.
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on where those guys might end up?
Not really, as long as it's not in Philly. Like, I mean, yeah. I can't. I mean, I'm sure teams will reach out to them, but I'm just hoping it's not Chuck.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's talk that Parise might end up with the Islanders. Suter might end up in Vegas or with Colorado. I mean, both of them are going to be making a lot of money in the bought out contract and getting paid anyway. So they'll have the opportunity to really go where they want to. So we shall see. Going into the mailbag, related to the hiring of Pierre Maguire by Ottawa, Sean Simpson from TSN put out sort of a controversial tweet and wanted to ask what we thought about it. So he said, "I love good hockey debate, but I'm curious how people who have never worked in the industry can tell you who is and who isn't qualified to manage NHL teams."
I mean, isn't that just like an opinion? Like, people are allowed to have their own opinion on stuff, whether they work in the industry or not. That's just like a general opinion. Or maybe I'm like misinterpreting it wrong, like his question wrong.
No,
but
you are not.
I'm just like, wait, so you're curious as to why people have opinions?
Yeah, I guess it was more specifically, like, how can people who don't work in hockey understand what it takes to be qualified to manage NHL teams? And, you know, I think it's a little bit of gatekeeping because there's this, you know, there's a coaching carousel, there's a GM carousel, and you have to see how difficult it is to break into that circle of people that get opportunities for these jobs. And so you think that there are qualified people out there, but they don't get the jobs. So why does somebody that's like pretty consistently derided in terms of his approach to the game getting the job? I think that's the question people are asking. And Simpson here seems to be saying, well, you don't know because you're not in it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Definitely gives off gatekeepy vibes. Like you said, there's a carousel of people that are always circulating the hockey front office, or the hockey front offices. And I mean, like, you can look at past performances and the things and people's actions and say, you know, if a team's going one way, these actions are completely a different way. And you can base your opinion off that. I don't think that you have to, like, completely work in an industry to have an opinion on the industry. If that's true, then, I mean, what is the whole, like, media? What is anybody doing? Like, I don't know. To me, that's just very, like you said, gatekeepy, but it, I mean, he could have just answered his own question if he thought about his, if he read his tweet before he hit send.
Like. One more question before we take a quick break. And this comes from at Criminally Volga on Twitter. When will Wyatt Wiley get called up? And I know this was asked because of the Everett Silvertips connection here with this person.
No, that, I mean, it's a great question, right? I think it's going to be maybe 2 years for Wyatt Wiley. I can't imagine seeing him next season just because of York and Zamula, if they're still on, you know, prospects in the organization. I just think they will get the opportunity before him. But we've talked about his skill and how much he has the ability next season to solidify himself as like a staple on the Phantoms defense. And because he plays such a, you know, two-way defensive game, I think it'll take him a little bit longer just to solidify the defensive side of his game. And I think that's what the Flyers really like about his game. So I could see it being, you know, not next season, but the season after that he gets an opportunity.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think that he needs a full season in like a proper AHL season to build up the defensive skills and learn to play in more situations at the higher level. And he should be getting that opportunity, not next season, but the season after. Well, Danielle, how quickly time flies, but did you know that on BetOnline, the odds are already up there for next year's Stanley Cup?
I didn't know, but I'm definitely not surprised.
Well, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, and they are Johnny on the spot when it comes to getting those odds out there for you.
And it's not just hockey. They have so many different sports to choose from, whether it's the NBA, tennis, golf, baseball, whatever you want to bet on, they have it, as well as awards, TV shows, and reality TV. And like Rachel said, you can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine.
BetOnline is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so continuing our mailbag, our good friend Laura over at Locked On Canadiens asks, what are our low-key trade targets we think could be under the radar or sleeper surprises this offseason?
This is a good question. I don't know if I have any that I haven't talked about already. But one that is pretty low-key is Frédéric Gaudreau. He played on Pittsburgh last season. He's 28. He's a center. And in 19 games, he had 2 goals, 8 assists for 10 points, which doesn't seem like that much. But I just feel like watching him play, he's such a depth energy guy that I feel like if the Flyers do go out and get like a veteran, maybe a center or someone who can play in the bottom six, he's definitely someone I would take a look at because he was playing really well in those games that I watched him playing in Pittsburgh. And he always seems to score really big time goals. I remember when he was in Nashville and he scored a couple of their like Stanley Cup when they were in the Stanley Cup finals, a couple big goals for them. So he's definitely someone that I don't always keep my eye on, but every time I notice him, he's doing something important for the team. So I wouldn't be mad if the Flyers went out and got assigned him to a contract. I think in his last contract it was like under $1 million.
Oh, that actually sounds like not a terrible thought. I think for me, and this is a definite big reach here, but I was looking when we were talking about potential deals for Bertuzzi on yesterday's show. Was it yesterday's show? or the day before? But and, you know, somebody was talking about if the Leafs were making a deal for them, that they would try to include Rasmus Sandin. And that got me thinking, well, why can't we look at Rasmus Sandin? And, you know, I think that he obviously, again, for me, I have like siblings playing on the same team obsession. So that's something that always interests me because we have Linus Sandin in our system already. And that, you know, he had some injury problems and, you know, he only played 9 games this season, but he had 4 assists. And I think that he's just a young, you know, up and coming player. And there's, I think, really good potential for him. And I'm not sure, like, if it's involved in maybe a Konechny deal or something where, you know, we're just trying to put players in a better position to succeed. Maybe if we can swing something with the Leafs for Rasmus Sandin, that would be an interesting move.
It definitely would be. I would be interested in having him in the Flyers organization. He's a pretty good prospect or player, I guess, now.
Yeah. And, you know, you can never have too many good defensemen, right?
Not at all.
So switching gears a little bit, what do you want to happen with the NHL and the Olympics?
I would like for NHL players to go to the Olympics. I would like to find a way to get that, to make that happen.
Yeah, part of me does and part of me doesn't. I think I just like that the women's teams have the spotlight when the men aren't there. But I think it would be good for the NHL overall if they went. So that's kind of where I am with that. But
that's fair.
Assuming that happens, are there any Flyers you think would end up playing for their country's team?
Well, before I answer this, I wanted to say, I think that the women's team will still ultimately have most of the attention because I think that they'll win. Definitely not confident that the American team at least will win in the Olympics. So I think Team USA will still win the women's anyway. But as for Flyers, I mean, I think Jake Voracek, if he's still on the team, he definitely would go. I could see maybe Sean Couturier on the team and Ivan Provorov.
Yeah, I think Voracek and Provorov have the highest chance of anybody on the team. I think Kutz is kind of a long shot right now to make Team Canada, but it's not impossible. I think Carter Hart could potentially, just because he has that really strong Team Canada background and World Juniors and stuff, that they would make him the extra goaltender. Maybe give him a chance to be on the squad and get the experience, but he wouldn't really like get to play. But yeah, I think those are the best chances for current Flyers, anyway, to make Olympic rosters. Probably nobody for Team USA, though. Well, wrapping things up with our Flyers fun thing, and it's kind of been a running joke on this show about forgetting that Sam Moran exists on a pretty regular basis, and I forgot again that he existed, and it was apparently his birthday a couple of days ago. So happy belated birthday, Sam. We forgot again. We're so sorry.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Happy birthday to him.
Thanks for listening to today's show. We'll be back again tomorrow. And as a reminder, we always want to hear from you. So if you have a mailbag question you want us to answer, send it in via Twitter at Locked On Flyers, or you can email us at lockedonflyers@gmail.com.
I'm Danielle. You can find me on Twitter at Danielle_Nick. That's Danielle_NICC.
And I'm Rachel. I'm on Twitter at rmiriam. That's rmiriam. Thanks for listening and have a great day. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.